Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
Ed Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, including iTunes. Apparently, according to one of the friendos on Twitter this morning, Larson, at Real Going In Raw, by the way. We were at number 104.
I saw that.
We slipped down to 104.
As I said the other day,
what a mess.
We're hanging in there between 95 and 105.
That's true.
That's our area.
That's our spot.
Sweet spot.
Yeah.
So you're welcome. Consistency is a good thing.
You're welcome to join us in that 10 level, but only 9 people can join us there. That level of 10 from 95 to 105.
Yeah.
I want to confirm what that friendo said. Anyways, if you guys, even if you're watching here at Steven Larson YouTube channel, you can also hit the subscribe download button on your iOS device, and that'll help jack us up. Maybe one day we can hover between 85 and 95. Oh, no, we're in 127, Larson.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There goes my theory.
But we're right above killing the town with Lance Storm and Cyrus.
Oh, I heard that's supposed to be good.
I know, me too. So we're in good company. Let's see who's right above us, because I love that stuff. Let's see here. MLB.com Fantasy Baseball 411.
Oh, okay.
And then above that is You're Welcome with Kale Sonnen.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're in good company,
yeah.
I think. Anyways,
we had, we're also on
Patreon.
Patreon.com/Steven Larson.
Correct. Where you can support the show and enjoy many reward tiers. I want to look at this comic book cover of mine again. That's not it right there.
No.
Look at that right there.
That's good.
I like it. It's looking good.
It is looking good. We're also on prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. You can get wonderful shirts like this fun wrestling logo shirt.
This is hidden on the internet. It's not hidden. I think like one person bought this because it's like on one of our previous merch stores. It's just like a blatant ripoff of one of the Young Bucks shirts. And so I decided not to make them again. But I'm going to do something like a similar like vintage Going In Raw type thing. It's probably going to be all in red on black.
It's a good idea.
I think it'd be good.
That's good.
Anyways. So we're going to talk about NXT and 205 Live today.
We are.
Yes, we are. I thought, I'll be honest, the main event for, there was two there. I had one massive problem with 205 Live and one huge compliment to 205
Live. It's your problem that Drew Gulak didn't wear his coat on his way to the ring.
No. I love everything about Drew Gulak. Whatever Drew Gulak wants, Drew Gulak gets. And if he doesn't want to wear a coat, I'm totally fine with that because I love Drew Gulak.
I feel like the coat is what ties his kind of medieval gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Between his Titantron package and his actual wrestling gear, that coat ties it all together.
I feel like if there was a nuclear bomb that hit 205 Live, he would be the last man standing.
I get
that feeling from Drew Gulak. And he would stay alive by virtue of sheer angst. He seems like an angsty guy.
He does.
Yeah. I love that about him. He also seems like a guy you'd see on a bus stop, on like a bus billboard. Or what do you call it? Like a bus bench?
Bench.
A bench.
An ad on a bench?
An ad on a bench.
Or a guy sitting on the bench.
No, an ad.
Okay.
Like he has enough money to have an ad for his business.
Sure what you were saying.
What is his business? Insurance or law? It's one of the two. It's either insurance or injury law.
Why can't he be a CPA or something like that?
Injury law. That's what it is.
It's injury lawyer?
It's injury lawyer, okay. Yeah. Have you been in an accident?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
Call
about.
Call Drew Gulak.
Okay.
Right?
That's not bad. But
that fits perfect. Anyways. So we kicked off 205 Live with... Oh, and my other thing about it was the main event was probably the best match I've ever seen on 205 Live.
It was definitely up there.
It was
very good.
For me, it was my favorite match. Neville promo. Start off with a Neville promo. He comes out and he says, it was, what was it, 1 year ago?
1 year and 1 day, I think.
1 year and 1 day ago.
Yeah.
That I was in this building and I broke my ankle.
He said, nobody cared.
But nobody cared about
Neville.
He broke
his ankle. And everybody forgot about him when he was gone.
But now I'm on the Neville level. I like when he says Neville level. Because, hey, there's the A double level. But then there's the Neville level, and it's still sort of ambiguous as to which falls where.
We're going
to
find out.
We're definitely going to find out at WrestleMania.
Which is top level.
Yeah, you know, I will talk about it at the main event. I am okay. Bummed out about one thing, though.
Okay.
Mustafa Ali interrupts Neville at that point.
Yes. To come out for his match against...
Drew Gulak. Have you been hit by a car? Call me.
Again, no coat, no jacket for Drew Gulak. Bum me out.
He's all the... Ironically, though, he's there for business.
He is.
Isn't that kind of weird? You have to take off your business suit to be ready for business in wrestling.
It's not a business coat.
Which coat are you talking about? Because he's walked around in a suit before.
The silver one.
Oh, the King Arthur shit. Yes. Oh, no. I'm done with that. Get rid of that. He's injury lawyer now. No, because when he puts on a real suit, he looks amazing.
He looks good,
amazing.
Yeah.
But he does not look... Drew Gulak does not look like a wrestler. But somebody... I forget where it was. Maybe it was Meltzer. I don't know. Somebody was talking about Drew Gulak and how 205 Live kind of... Like, a lot of the wrestlers don't use him to what he can do.
Yeah.
And somebody said, man, this guy actually has the potential to be the next Dean Malenko. Like, his technical wrestling skills apparently are, off the hook.
Yeah.
So, I want to see more from Drew Gulak.
Yes.
Let's see here.
Mustafa Ali picked up the win with the inverted 450.
Yeah, this was a fun match.
Yeah, it was. A cool match. Then Gulak dropped a promo.
Yeah.
After his loss.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he started saying something, the crowd booed.
Yeah.
Instant heel heat.
He said, nobody appreciates me. I'm tired of it. And 205 Live is the problem. So maybe he's been listening to the show.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? This place needs to change. Here are the issues I have with it. It's in front of an already exhausted crowd, which one of our friendos...
Well, it's interesting you're saying that. It's like his opening arguments in a trial for a civil suit.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. See? Injury lawyer.
Yeah.
His heart is... His feelings are injured.
Yes.
That's what happened now.
Oh, okay. So
his feelings got hit by a bus called 205 Live.
Okay. So he's suing 205 Live.
205 Live actually does sound like a bus route now that I think about it.
It does.
Which one are you taking to get to the mall? The 205 Live. Oh, okay. Good. Anyways, one of our friendos, Shannon, was at the taping and she said that I said, did everybody cut out at 205 Live? She said, no, they upgraded a bunch of people's seats to move them down to pack it. But I mean, no, yes, a bunch of people did leave,
but then they
upgraded seats.
Huh.
And try as they may, we'll talk about it in the main event. Then we had, Daivari and Noam Dar backstage, who couldn't remember the finish of his promo, of his lines. He said, Noam Dar is tired of Rich Swann getting the best of him, sending these presents to Alicia Fox. He said, Noam Dar said that Alicia Fox, she's only going to be with a winner.
Yeah.
He totally lost his lines, man.
It's like someone was chanting CM Punk at him.
Exactly.
But he said he needed to win the match so he could be a winner.
Exactly, yeah.
And keep and be able to keep Alicia Fox.
Good for him, though, because I would think, knowing myself for the past 38 years.
Yes.
If I was in that situation, I would have just fucking forgot the line.
Yeah.
If I blank on something, I don't find it. Until the pressure's completely off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't find, sometimes we'll be on the show here and I'll have a thought. And it might be a good one. And then you'll be talking. And then when it's my turn to then open my mouth and sounds come out, I'll forget the thought.
Yeah.
And it'll be literally 2 days and I'll remember it.
See, that was starting to happen to me. So now that's why I'm keeping much better notes on 205 Live, NXT, all wrestling shows.
So we
don't sit here and debate amongst ourselves who won a match and how they won.
Yeah.
It's a recap. People want to know what happens.
Yeah.
We need to give it to them.
Yeah. No, I like this. We'll see. Let's make sure. Ali wins with inverted 450. Very good.
All the finishes here.
Okay.
All the eliminations for the main event are here with the move that.
Here was one of my problems.
Eliminations. What?
Next, we had a rematch from a match that I dogged last week. Its very existence happening. We had Gallagher and Swan versus Dar and Daivari. That was a rematch from last week.
Yes.
I didn't want to see that tag match in the first place, but then they did a redo. They did it again.
Yeah.
And look, all the competitors are great. I'm totally fine with all these guys. And I feel like they need to be advancing. 205 Live has some really decent singles feuds going on. And so when you try to mash them up although this one did have Gallagher kicking off the match, dancing in unison with Rich Swann, color me impressed. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
It was so nerdy, but it was fucking cool because he had the moves. At the very least, he knew the sequence.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I like that.
I feel like ever since Rich Swann came back from his injury,
a little more spring in a step.
Title.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so. I think a lot of these guys are sort of finding their place. This was a fantastic. Okay, wait a second. So the Noam Dar promo after this. This main event. I'm gonna get to it.
Well, hold on. Well, let's say Noam Dar picked up the win for his team following a kick to Rich Swann.
Correct. Yes.
Following that, he was dropping a promo telling Alicia Fox that the best win.
Yeah, the best present.
Sorry, the best present is the present that comes from within. And he said, "This win is for you."
Because wasn't he kind of sideways looking to see if there's a delivery guy?
Yeah.
And then right after that. Rich Swann evidently was that gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, and he tells the delivery man, okay, go out there now.
And so a delivery man walks up with a huge teddy bear.
He says, can you handle this? Go out there now. Yeah, a huge teddy bear.
And right as Dar said, you know, this win is for you, and so is this giant bear. It was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. Okay. I got some problems with you people with this main event.
Voice them.
I thought this main event was kind of what I would love to have seen from the 205 Live, the cruiserweight division at WrestleMania. I totally think somebody on Twitter, forget who it was, mentioned this morning in response to us talking about potential show stealing matches at Mania, said Neville and Austin Aries, which is totally true.
Yeah.
Like that could totally steal a show. However, we had advocated long ago that a ladder match for the cruiserweight title would have been top tier.
Yeah.
And I firmly stand behind that, especially after seeing this match, which I thought was fantastic. And so I have two comments to make about this.
Okay.
Number one, this should have been like the Mania match. Like it should have been some sort of elimination or a ladder match or something.
Yeah, yeah.
To showcase, because right now, 205 Live, more than anything, needs a showcase. It needs a big crap, like they need to be showcased.
Agreed.
They need a good solid spot on the Mania card where you can see everybody and all these little stories being told, because there was some cool shit. Tony Nese, I thought, had a really, really strong showing in this elimination.
He's been really
match.
Picking up his game the last two or three
I
weeks.
Know, and I don't know if it's a matter of
the video packages they did before this where everybody had a chance to talk. He did a really good job.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
He was confident, he was convincing.
Yeah. That spot where he ran through Austin Aries busted through the
barrier.
Thing. Even that tired crowd. Now, that's point number two, is that this match illustrated perfectly what we've been talking about. Can you imagine if this match main evented like a standalone episode of 205 Live in a vacuum with a fresh crowd?
Oh,
that crowd would have been fucking hot at like the Hammerstein, a venue
would have blown the roof off the place.
That crowd would have been insane for this match. They were already hot for this match. Like they were chanting, this is awesome. They were chanting, holy shit. They were into it. These guys had to work through this crowd already being through SmackDown, which is jam packed.
Yeah.
All through the rest of 205 Live, and then they still had this crowd going.
Yep.
Could you imagine how much bigger that crowd reaction would have been? And when we hear that 205 Live is struggling on the network in terms of the number of views it's getting, and they're wondering backstage what to do, I'm not a logistics guy. I don't know how the TV logistics thing works. I understand the basic logic of SmackDown. We already have everything set up. Let's just film it now. But if you want this show to perform better, find a way logistically for it to make sense to have it be its own thing. Maybe if they're going to make 205 Live its own touring brand, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that would help the cause for sure.
But man, that main event was fucking off the hook. And I'm just thinking if this was at the Hammerstein or something like that.
Or the NXT Arena or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Not University of Central Florida, evidently.
Well, the crowd for last
The crowd was show, the crowd was better.
Because they shoot NXT in one order, and it airs in another order.
Yeah, I think you're right about
that. I don't think they necessarily shoot everything in order.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it's kind of hard to tell to a certain extent when stuff was shot and why the crowd was dead at a certain point.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty lively
at
another point.
I know.
Other than maybe, okay, this was shot earlier during the taping.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, no matter how great the wrestling is, if you're sitting in your seat in the same place for 4 or 5 hours, you're going to get tired.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line is it's what do they value? It's like, do they value success with 205 Live? In terms of like how many people are watching it, do they think that if the crowd was hot, if there was more buzz about it, about the matches, because the crowd feeds into the match?
Yes.
You know, it totally does.
It does.
I mean, that's one thing that I felt diminished the Adam Cole, Christopher Daniels match, is that the crowd seemed kind of, maybe it was because of the Hardys Young Bucks Roppongi Vice match was so off the hook. Maybe they were just tired by that point, but they were kind of silent during a lot of that Adam Cole Christopher Daniels match.
Yeah.
And I felt that diminished sort of the, you know, how
the impact.
Thank you. Yeah.
The finish, yeah.
And so a match like this, the crowd was hot, but man, they would have been off the fucking hook. And then I was thinking, man, if you put these guys, if you put them
with Neville.
With Neville.
In an elimination match
with a
ladder match, yeah.
And you get to see what they can do. I mean, there was some excellent storytelling happening here. So it was Austin Aries versus TJ Perkins, who I thought had a I shit on him all the time, but that's largely kind of a joke. Like ever since I've been dogging him for his character, which I think is fucking god awful. I've taken pains to pay attention more to his in wrestling ability.
Oh, his in ring work is very good.
And it is. It's
smooth.
It's very
crisp.
Good. But even him, I think he's been stepping up his game lately.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it is. Maybe they're letting them do more. Maybe they're booking them different. Maybe they're trying new things because they understand that it's not doing well.
It could also be that, okay, now all the competitors on the 205 Live
have
roster
wrestled each other a lot.
Well, that, and also because this is what, three, four months of wrestling WWE style.
Mm-hmm.
They're all learning how to find a middle ground between doing what they want to do plus wrestling how Vince wants them to wrestle.
Figuring out what they can get away with,
yes,
and what they definitely can't do.
What works into the television production and all
that.
That
could definitely be the case because, man, this was a really good. I like this, your note here. I didn't notice this, but
oh, yeah,
there were boos when TJ Perkins dabs on Austin Aries. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do that to Austin Aries.
No,
you shouldn't
do that
in the first
place.
The
crowd loves Austin Aries. People love Austin Aries.
I don't think anybody dabs anymore anyways. Like, that was a fad that lasted all of, what, 3 months or something?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anybody who would anyway. Like, I don't hang out with people who have ever dabbed except for my, you know, teenage stepkids. But even with them, it was done ironically. It was done as a joke. So I don't know. Like, he does it seriously. Nobody should ever do that. You need to stop doing that. This is one thing about, like, if his gimmick is millennial, which is so ridiculous. If that's his thing, he has to understand that they have a very, like, all, I mean, this is true for pretty much all teenagers and 20-year-olds. Fads come and go.
Oh, yes.
There's a high turnaround rate for what's cool.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
That's always been the case.
That's always been the case. Like, you know, things don't stay, especially these days, when every week there's a new thing
somebody
posts on Instagram.
Maybe his gimmick isn't millennial. I had the perfect, that's what you were talking about. I had the perfect phrasing.
It's the Steve Buscemi gif where he comes up and says, "Hello, young people." It's that.
Yeah. The guy who's trying to, yeah, exactly.
It's Matthew McConaughey from Dazed and Confused. That would be awesome. That would be great. That's what I love about high schoolers, man. I get older and they stay the same age. Right. Anyways, the barricade. No, I'm looking at your notes here. The barricade bit was great.
I'm going to quibble about one small detail here.
Okay.
Perkins made Nice tap out to the cross arm breaker.
Yes.
Doesn't TJP do a knee bar? Wouldn't that make sense for him to make him tap with the knee bar following that barricade spot?
Yes, that would have made
small
sense.
Yeah, detail.
No, that's a good detail. That's a good
small quibble.
Let's see here. Brian Kendrick eliminated. It's great because they have these little stories here.
Yes.
And Brian Kendrick versus Tozawa was one of, and that's another bummer about the WrestleMania thing is that you have something like Brian Kendrick who's not going to be that we know of.
Yeah.
Isn't going to be, and it would be fantastic if one of the pre-show matches ended up being something that did spotlight 205
Live.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. It'll probably be some sort of 6 or 8 man tag match.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I would be. God, I would not want it to be a tag match. I want some fucking elimination shit, man.
I
want one-on-one shit.
It's probably going to be a tag match.
Oh, I hate tag matches. I hate thrown together tag matches.
Yes.
I say I hate tag matches, but NXT's fucking tag matches are fucking great.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, dude, in the next year, in the next 12 months, we're going to get Authors of Pain, DIY, and Revival all in the main roster?
I know, it's going to be good.
That's fantastic. Their tag team fucking development is so great. And we got the Ely brothers again last night.
They know how to book exciting tag matches. It's sort of like in New Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Most of the tag matches there are pretty exciting.
They're
because
really good, yeah.
One thing I love about New Japan tag matches is the ref, generally speaking, doesn't care about the 5 count when there's two people from the same team in the ring.
I know.
They don't care.
I know. They just let them
do it.
And
it just makes
it's like
for
a
more chaotic, exciting match.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Let's see here. So going down the eliminations.
Yeah, Kendrick eliminates Tozawa with sliced bread number 2. And then Aries and Kendrick kind of do a double pin on TJP, eliminate.
Yeah, because Aries is on top of him, and then Kendrick comes in and gets on top of Aries and eliminate TJ Perkins. And then there's a great back and forth between Austin Aries and Brian Kendrick where Aries actually kicks out of a sliced bread number two.
Yeah.
And then I think I wanted to say there was something else about this. Yeah, I need to write my own notes.
Yeah.
So can we talk about this real quick? This is just, I thought they just call it a rolling elbow.
I know, that's what Corey Graves called it.
Yeah.
And that's what they called Chris Hero's elbow on
NXT. Noticed it first on NXT because I watched the main event for 205 Live before he came over.
Yes.
And I was like, he just said
but
rolling
elbow. But I swear elbow. Last week they called it a roaring elbow.
Maybe we just misheard, or maybe somebody.
But then someone on.
I don't know what it's called.
Someone on the comments. Because we on the last week's episode, we say, I wonder what, you know, the name of Austin Aries' finisher is.
Mm-hmm.
In the comments, it was all roaring elbow.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So it was confirmed by comments.
Tanaka.
Mm-hmm.
That was his finisher, too, one of his moves.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got you. Okay,
it was a roaring elbow.
That would make some sense.
So maybe, you know, maybe both are true.
Both are true. I don't know. Let's see here. Anyways, Aries had this great move, like, to finish it off, where he Irish whips Brian Kendrick. And then Austin goes to the one that's
perpendicular. Yes.
Yeah, and like, here's this thing, and he won, and then perpendicular.
Yeah.
And comes off that with a perfectly timed rolling, roaring elbow. It was fantastic, and he ended up winning. I can't say enough great things about Austin Aries. I really hope that they
He's so quick.
I know.
And so crisp.
And he's
with his wrestling.
He knows better than anybody, with the possible exception of Brian Kendrick, how to work that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is top. He is truly an A-double talent.
He is.
At working that crowd.
He's been wrestling for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an old dude.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Experience.
It's fantastic. Moving on to NXT.
Yes.
Oh, man. We opened up with my favorite, the twin Ushers. The twin giant Ushers.
The Ely brothers.
They look less like Usher to me now because I'm starting to like see them more. Now they look like... Their faces look like N64, like WrestleMania 2000 faces. They look like they might be 80 in the face, 50 in the body, but I'm pretty sure they've got to be in their 20s. They're probably young. How old do you think these guys are?
Mid-20s, maybe.
Ely Brothers.
But they gave them a decent amount of TV time last night. They had a promo.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually put up a pretty good fight against Authors of Pain for a little bit. What do you have there? I know you're looking
at Wikipedia. Their Wikipedia is bare bones. There's nothing going on here, man. Ely Brothers.
Because this is their third appearance that I recall on TV.
It is. It is. Yeah, I can't find out. Maybe somebody out there can find out. We'll do some research on that. But in any event, I like them. I like to talk shit. Like, it's kind of like a hazing thing on Going In Raw. It's fun to talk shit. How about that Nikki Cross match?
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
We'll get to that in a second. Where am I? Did I just take off my stupid notes?
You must have. They're right here. They're in front of me.
Idiot.
So Authors of Pain picked up the win with the last chapter.
Yeah.
Following a super collider.
Yeah, it was the most gentle suit. I think because it was a dude, the Ely brothers are so fucking huge.
Well, the Authors of Pain kind of missed.
Yeah.
They kind of just did shoulder to shoulder versus back to back.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, it's probably hard to see when you have
massive human being.
Yeah, two guys.
How tall do you think those guys are?
They seem pretty tall.
They seem huge.
Yeah.
I am going to be a big giant Usher twin fan. Trust me. It's just when I'm getting used to their faces, I always have to make cracks about faces because faces, they're the window to the soul. That's the eyeballs. So anyways, where were we?
After the match, Paul Ellering.
Oh, yeah. He comes out, drops a promo.
Another excellent promo.
Yeah.
Talking about he set the algorithm for
tag team
excellence.
Yeah.
DIY comes out. Tommaso Ciampa starts doing a Paul Ellering impression.
Which was dead on.
It was pretty good.
Which was better, way better than any of my impressions. It was great.
It was pretty good. And both Tommaso and Gargano were saying they didn't know what algorithm meant.
They're so good on the mic, man. I can't wait till
so
they
natural.
I can't wait till they come to SmackDown and they have to boot like the Vaudevillains off the show.
I know. And then the Revival come out.
Mm-hmm.
More excellent promo work.
Say yeah.
And then Regal comes out and says, all right, y'all have legitimate claims to the tag team championships. We have a triple threat match.
AOP versus DIY versus The Revival at TakeOver Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that should be a good match. That will be a good match, I'm sure.
That'll be fantastic. Then we got some video footage of Asuka chilling by poolside.
Yes.
With a lovely dress on.
Yes. And also during this episode, they're really pushing how devastating Ember Moon's eclipse is.
Yeah.
So when they first started doing that, I was wondering, oh, is Asuka going to take an eclipse? And that's the only thing that can beat Asuka as the most devastating finishing move ever. But it might be interesting if that's the story of the match. Asuka's doing everything she can to avoid taking that move.
Yeah, I feel like it's really impromptu for them to be doing this right now.
I know.
Like, this is something they should have established like early on.
I know.
Because nobody else has been like injured from it.
I know.
You know, they just take it normal.
Well, like last week when Billy Kay got hurt.
When like Liv Morgan took it. She was fine.
Yeah, no. One of the commentators said, oh, yeah, Ember Moon was in the porn center working on this move, and two people got taken out on stretchers or something like that. Like, okay, well, why isn't the move banned then? It's just hurting everybody.
I know, right? What the heck? Yeah, no. So they did wait. But before that, they did the Asuka package.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
sorry.
And she was talking about how the sun shines brighter than the moon, which factually is correct. From our perspective here on Earth.
Yes.
And in outer space, it is a sun versus a rock.
Yeah.
Basically a rock.
I mean, the moon wouldn't, you know...
doesn't actually shine.
No.
It reflects light from the sun.
I was going to say that exactly.
So literally, the moon doesn't shine.
Any light.
But
from
our vantage point down here...
Yes. It looks like...
It looks like it shines.
It illuminates.
But that's fine. Like, poetically speaking...
Yes.
It can shine. I can see that.
Yeah.
Not scientifically speaking.
No.
So Asuka gives us that information, and then she says, just to clarify, I am the sun in this situation. In this metaphor, particular metaphor, yes. Asuka's sun, Ember Moon, moon. So she clarified that for us. They had some footage of her taking selfies next to a pool in a lovely dress.
Yeah.
It would have been better, I think, if she started yelling at families at the pool. That would have been great. Get out of here! This is my pool! I'm going to fight you!
Who?
All of you!
Considering Asuka is on all the promotional stuff for their summer tour of the UK.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to show up at WrestleMania after all.
Yeah, probably not likely. That was, and Dave Meltzer said that too.
Yeah.
He said it doesn't seem likely, which is a bummer. But I want her to break, I don't know.
Goldberg's fake record?
Yeah.
Or fake streak?
Yeah, the fake streak, yeah. I want her to break that.
To legitimately break it.
I think she's already broken his real streak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's on the road
but
to breaking this fake streak.
Fake one.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I love that.
So SummerSlam maybe.
Yeah. So I'm
or the draft. Maybe the draft.
I'm totally fine with that. Like, they're establishing her as such a dominant presence in NXT. It's going to be. It's really setting. It has set and is continuing to set like an unattainable precedent.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
NXT.
The bar is we set so high.
And I like that. That's good because the next person who is able to reach that plateau
is going
to
be massive.
Is going to be massive.
Huge star.
And that's what you should be doing.
Yes. Following that package, we had a match between Macy Estrella and Nikki Cross.
This was fucking great, dude.
It was.
Oh, it's funny though. On my way to, I told you earlier, I had to go check at my parents' house.
Yeah.
I listened to My Name Is Mud.
Yeah.
And oh my god,
I know it's pretty close.
With the exception of the pause with it is fucking exact. It's so close, dude.
It's pretty close.
It is so close.
With the double bass drum and all that stuff.
Even like, I don't know, you're the music guy, but even like when it changes chord, like sort of on a fucking dime.
Oh, when it was like a key change or something?
Yeah. Like it does the exact same thing, but it's just in a slightly different way.
That's funny.
But so, I'm fine with it. I think it's fucking great. It gets me hyped up.
I knew this match was going to be great when Nikki Cross grabbed Macy Estrella's hair, twisted it around like she had her arm, and then did a beel off it. That was fantastic.
Like Macy Estrella, she came out like, God bless her. She's a former Marine, so that's awesome. Hard badass. And she took a fucking... I was at the gym on the stupid treadmill thing when I was watching this, and I had you in my head saying, she got another finisher? Like, when we're playing 2K17, what the hell? You have another finish already?
Yeah.
That's what it was just fin like.
No,
what,
this is back in the previous game when you set infinite finishers.
Infinite finishers. She had infinite finishers and Macy Estrella had none.
Because Nikki gave her, I think, 6 neck breakers.
Oh, it was fantastic.
5 or 6.
And the entire time you have, I love Sanity so fucking much. I love
Eric
them.
Young.
You know what you need to do.
You know what you need to do. This worked so much better when I was sick.
You know what you need to do.
Oh, it was fantastic. And meanwhile, what's his face? My favorite, Alexander Wolf. Oh, man, he's so great. And Big Damo doesn't say anything.
I know.
It's fantastic. Now, the thing that cracks me up is when the match finally is finished, then No Way Jose and Ty Dillinger attack Sanity.
Yes.
Why didn't they wait till the third neck breaker? Why didn't they say, okay, 3 neck breakers is enough? They had no concern about Macy Estrella. They simply wanted to wait until their guards was down. They were about to celebrate.
Yes.
And then they attacked him. Didn't give a damn that they were basically ending Macy Estrella's career. We shouldn't be able to see Macy again until around SummerSlam.
Yeah.
We are whenever that takeover is. We should not see her again. She got massacred by Nikki Cross.
Really
it was
did.
Fantastic.
It was pretty great. The beatdown between No Way Jose and Ty and Sanity was pretty good. Mostly because Damo did a Funhouse.
Oh my god, I saw that too. That was great.
That was awesome.
And it was just it was like standing, and then he just was like that.
I know.
It was so sudden.
Hold on, did Funhouse's fun splash.
Fun splash. It was great.
It was great. And the senton Damo did to
yeah. Ty,
that looked like that hurt.
Dude, I know. He landed square. It was awesome. It was fantastic.
So next week, we're going to get No Way Jose, Ty Dillinger, and Roderick Strong against Sanity.
Dillinger, your blood is on your hands.
That's an interesting twist on that particular phrase. Usually it's like, his blood is on your hands.
Your blood is on your hands.
Well, yeah. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm still guessing we'll see Eric Young against Ty at TakeOver. Hasn't been announced yet, but...
Yeah, that would seem to make sense. We got a Billy Kay update.
Well, actually really wasn't much of an update because in the background, Andrade Cien Almas was beating up or picking on Ho-Ho Loon, and Oni Lorcan came in to break it up.
Almas comes through the locker room with, like, super swagger and, like, just shoulder checks the shit out of Ho-Ho Loon. It was fantastic. And then Oni Lorcan says, hey, man, don't do that.
Yeah.
And then they interviewed Oni Lorcan, and he says, I'm the anti-bully guy.
Yeah.
He says, he's just a bully, and I don't like bullies.
Yes.
And I was just like, man, Oni Lorcan, I wish you were crazy. Like, he comes off so much cooler when he's just crazy.
I know.
Stiff
I know.
Worker guy. But that's cool. They're giving him some sort of, like, face angle now.
I know.
So that's good.
Because Oni Lorcan's fantastic in the ring. He's fun to watch.
He said, and the great thing is he was so protective of Ho-Ho Loon. He says, are you okay? And Ho-Ho Loon says, of course. Great.
It was great.
I'm sorry. I love NXT for all this stuff.
It's fun.
It is. It's so much fun. It's so simple. It's so fun.
This main event was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. This was a blast. This was great.
Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno is so natural.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So smooth on the mic.
I know.
It just seems like he's just having a conversation.
No, I agree. I agree.
And it's so great. It's such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it is.
Considering half the people, more than that, 95% of the people on the main roster have to read these scripted promos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And he just comes off as so natural. He's just talking.
And it was a great juxtaposition. You have like the ultra-polished Bobby Roode. And then you've got Chris Hero who, man. So I was talking about this off camera a little bit. So like the chubby thing really fits Kevin Owens because he's been doing this for like a long time. Chris Hero, like since he left, he hossed up.
Yeah.
And I don't know whose idea it was to like have him give him a tucked in medium sized shirt. Our friendo Glorious George was DMing me on Twitter today about this, and I was like, yeah, I kind of agree with you. And I wasn't really going to mention it too much because the bottom line is he's a fan. Like, Chris Hero is, like, obviously a fantastic wrestler.
Yeah,
like,
great.
He's top tier, dude. Totally. I wonder if, like, me watching it, like, visually, it's a bit on the distracting side because I'm aware of his previous work when he wasn't like that. And it's sort of like, it's a bit of an elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
And we talk so much about how great, how natural he is on the mic.
Yeah.
And for him to be wearing clothes that are so form-fitting comes off as a bit unnatural.
Yeah,
and I think that's where there's this weird juxtaposition.
I haven't watched a lot of his indie stuff before into NXT.
Mm-hmm.
I watched both his matches at Battle Los Angeles 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore trunks, but not a shirt.
He was shirtless, yeah.
He'd walk out with a basketball jersey.
Right, exactly.
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
But he'd take it off for the match.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have the undershirt on.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think there's an element of, I don't know if he's ever really spoken about it, but, like, I wonder if there's a lot of thought put into it. Like, hey, you know what? This is who I am. Like, which translates on the mic, because yeah. We have said last week, especially, we feel like this is exactly who he is.
Yes.
And so I wonder if that's sort of the visual representation of that with him is, this is who I am. And I wonder if that goes back to when he was ousted from NXT, because they were like, one of the rumors was they got him out of there, or they released him because he couldn't stay in the shape that they wanted him in.
Yeah.
And that's his way of saying, look, this is who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
In which case, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I just wonder if it, like, for me personally as a fan watching, a little distracting to watch, like, such a tight shirt. And maybe it's because, look, I'm not like a super in shape guy. I know what it's like to have, like, a medium sized shirt on. You hear me bitching about t-shirts all the time.
Yeah, you're very particular about your t-shirts.
Exactly. And so I'm like, man, I want that dude to be able to breathe without, like,
I guess my primary worry about it is, say he gets called up to Maine, he has to work a full-time schedule. That's a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, I know.
If you're carrying around a little extra weight.
I know.
And it looks like it has potential to not be comfortable for him.
Yeah.
And that's my worry.
Yeah.
More in terms of just him being able to, you know, work.
Yeah, I know.
That's more my concern.
No, I know. I know. I mean,
I like the design of his stuff.
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic.
The old school USA basketball.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
No, I know. And I don't want him to ape, like, Kevin Owens thing.
Yeah.
But Kevin Owens wearing the sleeveless black t-shirt is perfect. It fits perfect,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, if you get a guy who looks like he is comfortable, it goes a long way to just buying into what you're seeing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if he looks like he's uncomfortable, which he kind of does,
yeah.
And that, I mean, how can that feel comfortable?
I know. It's like, in the indie scene, I think for the most part, he didn't wear a shirt.
Right. And I'm sure he is comfortable.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't look
comfortable now.
And so, like, I don't know if he was, nobody's going to take my advice, but like, just me personally, it'd be great if I could see him in, like, one of those basketball jerseys, but like an XL. You know?
Yeah.
And have it, like, not tucked in.
Yeah.
Because that just looks weird anyways.
Yeah.
Tucking that into trunks is weird.
Yeah.
It's like if Randy Orton, can you know how Randy Orton.
Well, the
Orton,
problem would be, though, that if he wore just the basketball jersey.
It looks like he's wearing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Which is why I would have to modify that then and say no trunks, basketball pants, too. He seems like he's got, like, a cool Sonics version
of
that outfit.
Yeah.
You've seen on the indie circuit.
Yeah.
I think that'd look really, really cool. As, like, a full basketball outfit. Then he could just be basketball guy. I don't know. There's no reconciliation. I don't know. You can't do that and not be basketball guy. Maybe you can. I don't know. Anyways.
I don't know. But this was a really fun match.
It was a fantastic match.
Really fun match.
Yeah.
They did a great job of booking Bobby Roode as a strong heel.
Oh, my God. How did I miss this? Did I look down for a second?
Oh, Bobby Roode's Rainmaker!
Fuck! I have to go back and watch again now.
It was just a short-arm clothesline. But anytime there's a short-arm clothesline,
we yell Rainmaker.
It's a Rainmaker.
Exactly, yeah.
I was sitting there watching it on my computer.
Did he have the wrist lock?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But he didn't do, you know, the Rainmaker.
The Rainmaker is you roll him out and
yeah,
you bring him in.
That. It was just a short-arm clothesline.
The roll him out, I think, is where the stank is.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so there was one Rainmaker. And Bobby Roode tried to do it again later on in the match and reversed it.
Mm, okay, all right.
Great match. Bobby Roode looked great. Bobby Roode is just so much fun.
He's
a great showman.
He's great. I know. He's fantastic. He's so, like, do you see what I'm saying? Back in the day when I said this dude is ready for Maine right now as soon as he gets there.
Yeah.
Totally ready. But I do love, this is to your point where NXT can be used to establish character and introduce character and have people get used to that character before they go to Maine. That is perfect for him.
And I think also what's perfect for him about being NXT is he's had time to adopt his ring style to his character.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because
you
see every match, there's an evolution in how he presents himself as a wrestler.
Mm, totally.
Watch it, go back and watch his first match against, was it Almas at TakeOver in Brooklyn. He's wrestling completely different.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. Different.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. Do we know what Cassius Ohno's, what his contract, like, is he going to be sticking around NXT for a bit?
He's on the promo poster for the UK tour.
Oh, he is.
Summer,
okay,
yeah.
Good. That's
prominently,
awesome.
Prominently
That's
featured.
Fantastic. That's great. So once Roode's gone, because he put a hell of a showing up there against Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if they...
Chris Hero's a really good wrestler.
Yeah, he is.
Really good.
He's fantastic.
He looked great. Ended up eating the pin, though, after a glorious DDT.
Yeah.
But a really good match. Great showing for Cassius Ohno in his first match since his return. It'd be interesting to see after TakeOver in Orlando, assuming Shinsuke loses and Shinsuke moves on the main roster, if they continue this feud. Because I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Over the summer.
Yeah.
Till SummerSlam, that could be the main event of that. And then if, you know, they're going to do the Ty Bobby Roode program. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Ty's lost some momentum.
Yeah, it's because he's had to align himself with two other guys, and they already had a singles match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, not only is he sort of, he's battling a faction by using friends, which kind of makes you look weak. Like, Austin never needed friends to battle factions.
No.
He would just go run in and have to be pulled apart from people. And then separately from that, like, he already had a one-on-one match against Eric Young. So it's like, okay, are they just going to do this again?
He lost because of distraction, but wasn't like Sanity directly interfered in the match.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Yeah. You think when he saw Chris Hero come in, he was like, there goes my...
No, because they've always been playing the long game with his story.
Yeah, that's true.
And I still say I wouldn't be surprised if he eventually gets the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not from Bobby Roode, even though I think they'd be... provide nice symmetry to their story.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the year, I'm still pretty convinced Ty Dillinger will have that belt.
Yeah. I still think Sanity is just one of the level bosses he has to take on. Then I'll move on from there. Yeah.
That's why I'd be surprised if they had a match, he and Eric Young, at TakeOver in some sort of stipulation, whether it's a cage match or Sandy's barred from ringside or something like that.
I'd even be totally fine, like, if
Sandy's not barred from ringside, and somehow Ty overcomes the odds and wins.
It'd be kind of fun I wouldn't mind if Chris Hero ended up being the final level boss because he stayed face, and they did like a, you know, because like in Ring of Honor we have face versus face all the time.
Yeah.
And it'd be really fun, I think, if Ty was able to vanquish Bobby Roode, only then to have to go up against a face, and then it's just like a pure wrestling thing. It's a pure respect thing.
Yeah.
And he was able to win the title off of Chris Hero. Yeah, it'd be fun.
I mean, Ty will be over because of the 10 chant.
Oh, he's over no matter what, dude. I mean, yeah, he's
so
not.
There's no danger of him kind of falling out of
and favor. I think it's smarter for him to sort of, it's like we say, we'd prefer steady than hot and then drop, you know? So
slow and steady build.
Exactly.
You want to answer some questions?
Yeah. We have a hidden paper face. He says he's not going to be able to watch SmackDown anymore because he joined a wrestling school that takes place on Tuesday nights. His question is, what are some moments in wrestling that you missed because you couldn't watch that one episode of Raw or SmackDown?
Oh, wow.
The only one I can think of, I think I was on a date the night that the Ultimate Warrior returned to WCW.
Oh, I remember that.
And I think I cut it short to come back to watch that. That's me, everybody. That's Steve here. That's what I do. I ended up okay, though.
I mean, there was this period of time I didn't watch wrestling because I just had other things I had to do.
Yeah.
But not like a particular moment I missed, I guess.
These days, man, it's like with kids, it's like, I mean, I sort of make it a priority. And right now, like, things are cool. Like, I've got a bunch of old step kids who take care of themselves. And then I've got little Bama running around. But she's cool watching wrestling. Like, I just pop it on the Chromecast in the front room.
Yeah.
And she's totally cool watching it. So it's easier these days. But, like, and on top of that, it's, like, our job to do this. So, yeah. Like, it's
but
totally justifiable.
Day and age when, you know, there's DVRs. You can
and Hulu
stuff.
And everything. Yeah, yeah. Exactly,
back,
yeah.
You know, back when we were in college, if we wanted to tape something, we had to pop it, tape it to the VCR and record it.
And then hope it worked and hope there was not, there was enough space on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I can't think of one beyond that offer, but I think that's a funny one.
Above titles, Alex C. Imagine for whatever reason, Vince decides to end the Cruiserweight division and fire all but five. Three go to Raw, two to SmackDown. Who goes where?
Okay, all but five stay in the Cruiserweight division, but three go to SmackDown, two go to Raw?
No, there's no Cruiserweight division.
There's no Cruiserweight.
Five keep their job. Everybody else gets fired.
Five keeps their job.
Yeah.
Did he specify brands? I'm sorry. I thought you specified brands.
Three to Raw, two to SmackDown.
Two to SmackDown, okay.
Who goes where? Or who are the five and who goes where? Let's decide the five first. Aries, Neville.
Kendrick. I'm saying Tony Nese, man. He's a fucking stud. And Jack Gallagher.
Okay. I would include Cedric Alexander because I think he's got tons of untapped potential. Tons.
I go with character.
Well, I think
I shouldn't have gone with Tony Nese if I'm going with character.
I think if Cedric is given a character to work with, he could do great work.
Yeah, but... That doesn't always go. It doesn't always work. Like Apollo Crews.
I know.
You can't just wait around for somebody to be given a character. I stick with what's tried and true. And I like where Tony Nese has been heading.
Yeah.
Okay, if I take Tony Nese out, who else do I like? Oh, Noam Dar. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Yeah. So those are my five. Stick with characters.
It's like one face and four heels.
One face.
You have Aries, and you have Neville, Kendrick.
Ooh, and but I want Aries to be a heel, so I want all heels.
All heels?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Aries.
Jack Gallagher. He's not a, oh, sorry. He's not a heel. Yeah.
Aries and Gallagher go to SmackDown. Everybody else goes to Raw.
So you're saying Kendrick to Raw?
Yeah.
Who else to Raw?
Nice.
I took him out for Jack Gallagher, so I kept in Noam Dar. Noam Dar, where's he go? Noam Dar goes to Raw? Really?
Yeah.
I'm saying Noam Dar goes to SmackDown. SmackDown is Noam Dar. SmackDown could really use Austin Aries.
Yes.
And the rest,
Austin Aries is perfect for SmackDown.
I guess the rest go to Raw. Look, this is the ultimate botch. Too sweet right here. Too sweet. Look at that. Looks like a little penis. Look.
Okay. Scott Steiner's favorite bastard, Jacob Barnes. Hey, friendos, scenario, congrats. Sacramento has just granted an NFL football team.
Never going to happen.
No. And you guys are given control. What is the name of the team, wrestling-themed, and what wrestlers will be the coach, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, lineman, and kicker? It's got to be a wrestling-themed name. Sacramento.
The Sacramento.
Rainmakers.
Oh! You win. That's good. I can't say anything better than that. The Rainmakers.
Rainmakers.
That's good. All right. What wrestlers? Who's going to be the coach? Well, that's going to be Regal, obviously.
Yeah.
What are you doing out there?
Yeah. Good.
This is Smash Mouth.
Good.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
John Cena.
Of course. Yeah.
Wide receivers.
Those are the guys who are like really fast, right? Mm-hmm. They have to be fast. Who's the quarterback? You know what? TJ Perkins.
Yeah.
Wider. He's fast, right?
He is fast.
Isn't he fast?
Yeah.
And he can be kind of shorter, right?
Yeah, you have to be.
To be wide receiver.
You have to be tall or, you know, exceptionally tall. Or,
who's tall and fast?
You know he'd be perfect, even though he's not in WWE, he'd be Kenny Omega.
Oh, yeah. Because
he's not tall, but he's fast.
I feel like AJ could be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Okay, AJ.
Or I think AJ would be a good running back.
Oh, okay. Oh, you think so? Don't running backs have to be a bit on the stout side to like punch through?
He's 5'9", 5'10". He's pretty built.
What did Roman Reigns play when he played football? Didn't he play
defensive
football?
Line?
Defensive line. Okay. All right.
Okay, we'll say AJ. AJ can be like a halfback where he can be, you put him all over the field.
Okay, and let's just finish this off. Who's the kicker? Randy Orton.
Yeah. Good. Shibata.
Shibata. There you go. That's good. Oh man, you know I keep on having this in my head. I keep on having the Jordan Devlin thing in my head.
Yeah, no.
I keep on replaying like the spot.
Yeah,
which you can't really even see much. But then he turns around, and everybody's like, "Ah!" It's almost like something out of Saturday Night Live.
I know.
It's so comedic. It's like, "Oh yeah, everybody, how's it going?" And it's like
your
brain is leaking out.
James Rodriguez, which would you prefer? A wrestler who has all the charisma in the world but sucks in the ring, or one that is fantastic in the ring but can't cut a promo to save his life?
If you're saying fantastic in the ring, I'm going to assume that means they know how to tell a story as well, and I would rather have that.
But can't cut a promo.
Give me an example of somebody who's a great promo guy but was crap in the ring.
I was about to say Hogan, but he was not a good promo guy. He just had tons of charisma.
Did he though? Like, what was really, really like? Hogan was just the most 1980s person there was.
Yeah,
because in the 1980s, you could be ugly as shit, which Hogan was. You could be bald as fuck. You could look like you're 60, but be 30.
Yeah,
or 35, whatever he was.
Yeah.
And look like you're just a big. Yeah, he had charisma. But man, he was just like one throbbing, weird, leathery muscle guy.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't wrestle. Really wasn't good on the mic. He just had some charisma.
Oh man. I guess who's the more 80s guy? Ultimate Warrior or Hulk Hogan?
That's a tough decision.
I think it's Hogan. Because at least Warrior had a glorious head of hair, which I know is an 80s glam rock thing.
Yeah.
Or hair rock thing, whatever you want to call it, hair metal. But Hogan, I feel like, was more realistically 80s. Remember, like, in the 80s, you had, like, music videos mm-hmm. with just the ugliest people in mm-hmm. bands. They had mm-hmm. ugly motherfuckers.
Yeah, they did.
And these days, everybody just looks like a model, but the music is shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Perkins, he's really good in the ring. He can tell a decent story in the ring. He's just not good on the mic.
Man, you're making me rethink my shit now then. Because he's like offensively bad as a character.
Yeah. But his ring work is top notch.
I know, but I'd rather have like, I'm trying to think of an excellent promo guy who's like crap in the ring. The level of talent these days is so good in the WWE. It's hard to think of that now.
Think historically then.
Okay. Great promo guy, crap in the ring.
I mean, like, I was going to say Dusty was a great, great promo guy.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
a good storyteller, but, he, you know, in terms of technical wrestling, he never really, he didn't do much.
I would rather have Dusty Rhodes than TJ Perkins.
Or Flair. Flair.
Oh, come on. Flair was one of the best in-ring performers ever.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, but like his, look at his set of moves. There's like three of them.
That's true. You know how to tell a story
exactly.
better than anybody
else. I know.
Okay, I get you. Yeah, technical. You're right. Technical wrestling.
In terms of his offensive arsenal, is very limited.
Look at his
he spent most of the match.
I still laugh
getting
over,
beat up.
I still laugh over what you said about Silas Young. Sometimes it feels like he doesn't know how to wrestle. Like he forgets how to do moves.
So I think,
but then he does that lumbering, like the thing that's supposed to make everybody marvel when he jumps up on the rope and springboards.
Oh, no, he barely does it every time. So I think what we're saying here is the most important thing for us is to be a good storyteller in the ring.
Yeah.
That's the most important.
Yeah,
because I agree with you. Flair was one of the best storytellers.
Yeah.
But if you just look at his offensive arsenal.
Yeah.
And granted, I love chops. I think chops might be my favorite wrestling move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good chops. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's
fantastic. Because it hurts you.
Yeah.
It hurts you.
It hurts to listen to.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. God, dude, I'm thinking of those fucking chops that Kratos gave to Aaron Skye.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
That local
God.
Show here.
Jesus Christ.
Just echoed through that gymnasium.
And Aaron Skye is so small. Little tiny dude getting just, oh, my. And Kratos is beef.
Yeah, he's huge.
He's nothing but beef, dude.
And he put his all in that one chop. That's the loudest chop
ever. It's like
heard.
He was paying his mortgage with that fucking chop, man.
Yeah. Like if I don't get a perfect chop here, I lose my house.
He's like, I just got a house in Roseville, baby.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Like that one we talked about that Almas delivered during that Fatal 4-way match that we thought was the loudest chop ever.
I think even Almas was surprised at that one.
I know. Like this Kratos one broke the sound barrier.
Yeah, it did.
It was
really
a sonic
did.
Boom when it impacted.
Oh, my God.
It was something else.
It was something else.
Everybody in that basketball gym just said, oh!
I like that line of friends that are always standing there with their phones, just rooting on everything. The Forge of the Universal Championship, Untouched Galaxy. If you're in NorCal, I would definitely highly suggest going to a Supreme Pro Wrestling show
SPW.
Here in SAC.
They put on a good show.
It is a lot of fun, and they put on a good show. Who do you guys think will be the first superstar to come from NXT to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, good question.
I think it would be either Daniel Bryan or maybe Seth. What do you guys think? First guy to superstar to come from NXT.
Well, there's two different NXTs. There's the reality show NXT, and then there's the promotion as it exists now, NXT.
Right. Yeah. If we're talking about, I mean, if we're including the reality show thing or the challenge, whatever you want to call it, I would Daniel Bryan. I think that's going to be within the next 2 years. Let me ask you something.
If he leaves and goes and wrestles again?
Do you think they're waiting for that? I think he's going to be, no matter what, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to burn bridges.
No.
I think the WWE, when they say your contract is up and he leaves, it'll most likely be amicable because he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would burn bridges unless they try some weird shit. But I would think that they would have that sorted by now. He's probably asked them firmly, you can't freeze my contract anymore. I think even Meltzer on his Twitter answered this question of somebody within the past week. So they legally can't freeze it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So in 18 months, he's gone.
Yeah.
I think they'll definitely put him in the Hall of Fame. I just wonder if it would be sooner than later if he would say, no, I'm not going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah,
I'm still wrestling.
I'm not going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
That's probably a mutual thing.
I don't know. That's
I would think, though, that he would go in sooner than like a Seth Rollins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because even Seth Rollins, he's in like 29
or
something.
Yeah, he's 29. He's probably another 20 years wrestling.
He's a baby.
But it's, let's say of wrestlers who actually wrestled in NXT, the promotion.
Well, in terms of like the first guy to get inducted to wrestle through NXT, you have to start thinking about older guys.
Exactly.
So I think Daniel Bryan's a pretty good bet because if he's got a bucket list.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm saying let's not talk about the challenge.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Because someone like Shinsuke, who's already in his late 30s, who did a lot in New Japan, you know, say he wrestles in WWE for 10 years.
I mean, you're looking at guys like Shinsuke, like Samoa Joe.
Bobby Roode, potentially.
Bobby Roode, potentially. He's already like 40.
Yeah.
So you're looking at those guys.
Do you think they'd induct Roman Reigns while he's still wrestling?
Probably, yeah. Next year at Mania, him versus Lesnar, and he gets inducted. Next year, Roman Reigns is the headliner.
Eric, base hit King Blaha. Hey, friendo, since Ann Larson mentioned that the slap nut shirt has lost its effectiveness in embarrassing the loser predictions, Eric suggests a new penalty, the new TJ Perkins shirt in the WWE shop.
Ooh, is it bad?
And they have to perform on camera TJ's dab routine that he does at the top of the ramp on his entrance.
That's too much. That's too way much. Too much. Like, why would you want to do that to us?
I don't think the t-shirt's that bad.
That's too much. Oh, look at Stone Cold. That's a fucking real man right there. You don't see him trying to do some awkward ass.
Nope.
WrestleMania Superstore. No. Ooh, they got some hats. Look at this John Cena Patriots hat.
Right, I might here. Need to get a hat when we're at WrestleMania if we're in the sun.
If I recall, I got a hat from there before. And I, you know, I love this KO Mania 2 shirt.
I know, it's great.
That is really
I
good.
I love that old WrestleMania 2 logo. It's perfect.
I know. It is fantastic. T-shirts. Give us another question while I look this thing up.
Connor, Triple H, Fun Wrestling, Dunmore. Hey, friendos, my question today is, I, Connor, personally think Double A is a terrible nickname, and the commentators overuse it as well. It's A-double, actually.
It's A-double, and you're crazy.
As
it's
well,
amazing.
So if you could take that nickname from Aries and give him a new one, what would it be?
Well, he's A-double, also got... He's
the greatest man that ever lived is his other nickname.
Yeah, the greatest man who ever lived.
But
yeah.
A-double is great.
I'm sorry, Connor. We disagree with you on this one.
A-double is fantastic.
A-double is fantastic.
Because Double A is Arn Anderson.
It's Arn Anderson.
A-double is Austin Aries.
Yeah. Okay, do I have to look up his freaking name?
Yeah.
God,
go buy Superstars.
Ooh, John Cena, get out of here. Okay. Give me another question while I look.
Yes, of course. South Texas Tiger Dan Cannon. Does Oney Lorcan get over as a face or heel? He gets over because he's badass. Because
he's fucking amazing.
That's why.
But he is a face now.
Yeah, he is.
Because he's anti-bully. Oh, my God.
It's not good, but I wouldn't be embarrassed to wear it.
It's probably uncomfortable as shit,
yeah.
too.
Well, that's one of the nerds ones. Maybe it's on better cotton. It's not one of their stock t-shirts.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
It's not cool. Terrible.
I like these new vintage ones.
Yeah. Baby Orton's Poison Pacifier.
Baby Orton, baby.
Hey, friendos, even though we knew that Aries is going to win at 205 Live, become number one contender, did you guys get excited over the fact that it could have been the Brian Kendrick picking up the win at the end after some heelish acts from TJP? So it could have been Kendrick versus Neville. I want to see Aries versus Neville.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I would have been.
They'll bring it.
I would have been disappointed, but Brian Kendrick deserves his day in the sun too. I mean, he's done such a solid job as kind of the backbone of the division. So,
Andrew Mullen, hey friendos, what do you think of Vince on commentary back in the 80s and 90s? Terrible, awful,
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 just awful,
horrendous.
Yeah, it is funny though to watch him like in the early 90s, like or in the mid 90s, like right before he stopped doing it.
Yeah,
to hear how quickly on a dime. He goes from doing like, oh, look at these fantastic competitors out there. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, fat lady in the audience.
On a dime.
On a dime. And he's like, there. I remember there's one episode of Raw from 95 that I was watching. I forget which one it was. But that literally, I didn't just say the fat lady thing as it was like he did that. But it wasn't. He didn't say fat lady. The camera cut to a very large woman in the front row.
Yeah.
And all of it, you just hear Vince go, oh. Like, really, Vince?
Vince oh, goodness.
Vince would fat shame him. What are you doing? Get in shape.
Chris Kimmel, do you think the latest injury to Cedric Alexander is going to hurt his chances of becoming Cruiserweight champion?
Why are these $32?
I know, they're kind of expensive.
I would so fucking buy the Razor Ramon one.
Yeah, it's going to hurt his chances because he's going to...
Say that one more time, what?
Do you think Cedric Alexander's injury is going to hurt his chance of becoming Cruiserweight champion?
Yes.
Because it's going to give other competitors time to kind of move up the card.
And he needs a character, man.
Needs a character. But if he comes back in 5 months, comes back with an awesome character, he can shoot right
okay,
back up to the
top
of the
see,
card.
Okay, but do you see like how ridiculous that is for you? Ooh, have you seen this Mankind shirt?
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous to think that can happen, though. If he comes back with an awesome character.
It's happened before where a wrestler's been out and come back with a...
I can think of it one time.
Who?
Neville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's happened. I'm sure it's happened other times as well.
I don't know. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it has too. I'm just saying, man, like the odds of it actually happening.
Probably aren't that great, but it's low. Potentially could happen. Find one more here. All right, we'll do this one.
Okay.
This is a long question. JT, a.k.a. one of Dalton's boys. Hey, friendos, instead of a brand switch or draft, we have a trade with all major companies. Vince has given you both the green light to approve or deny the trades.
Give me a green light.
He said, remember, the person's age, previous injuries, and if they'll be popular working in the WWE. Thanks, friendos. I guess these are his ideas, such as Omega for Finn Balor, Adam Cole for Seth Rollins,
Will Ospreay
for AJ Styles. So we have to essentially trade away all of WWE's talent for talent in other companies. I think that's the point.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. He's already got some really good ideas here.
I would trade Kenny Omega for Finn Balor. Absolutely. I mean, as much as I'd like to see Kenny Omega versus Finn Balor, Kenny Omega is one of the two best wrestlers in the world.
I know. You can't say no to that trade,
no.
Can you?
No. Adam Cole for Seth Rollins. Would you make that deal?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No, I wouldn't.
I would not trade Will Ospreay.
When Seth Rollins is healthy, he's one of the best wrestlers on the planet.
Yep. Dalton Castle and the boys for the New Day.
Oh, man. Hey, his contract's up soon.
Dalton Castle is?
That was in the oh, really? Observer 2, yeah. One of the bigger things was about the Ring of Honor like seeming exodus coming up.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of people's contracts are coming up.
Interesting.
The
Young Bucks for Authors of Pain. I would do that deal.
I honestly wouldn't. I think it's weird. Okay, name right now the four best tag teams in the world.
In the world? Young Bucks?
Young Bucks are there. I would say by virtue of character and rejuvenation, the Hardys are probably there.
Yeah.
But man, tell me.
The Revival.
The Revival. I would fucking even say DIY. They're up there.
Yano and Ishii.
Who can argue with that? I think NXT has three of the best tag teams in the fucking world. And I know the Authors of Pain, it's really early to say that with them.
Yeah.
But God damn it. They're
good.
Fucking,
they're really
they're
good.
They're so fucking entertaining.
I know.
Like, put together as a package, it's hard not to say they're top... definitely top 10 in the world.
Yeah, they're really good. They're good.
Like, put them in any indie promotion. Put them in New Japan.
Oh, I know.
Gorilla's Destiny up there.
Yeah.
They're fucking up there.
Roppongi Vice are good.
Oh, yeah. They're really good. Put Roppongi Vice in fucking... I would trade... how about this? Let's trade Roppongi Vice. What are the things here?
These are just ones he suggested, but we can come up with our own.
Vince has given you the green light. Can we... instead, we do stuff like... let's see here. Would you trade... oh, I would make this trade. Samoa Joe for Shibata. I would. I would totally make that trade. Because Shibata's young, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he killed a guy once.
Well... I read on Wikipedia that he dropped an elbow on somebody and... the guy was in a coma for 4 days before he passed.
Oh, my God.
This was early in Shibata's career, though.
I wouldn't trade anybody for Asuka. It says no. Candice LeRae for Asuka.
No.
No, not a chance. Asuka stays. Oh, no. Jeremy Borash for Corey Graves? No. I'm just looking at this dude's right here.
Yeah.
But, Kevin Kelly for Moro? Yes. In a fucking heartbeat.
Oh, yes.
In a heartbeat. And then Steve Carino's already at the Performance Center.
Yeah.
Bring him up for color.
Yeah.
Bring him up for color commentary. That's oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Kevin Kelly and Carino are great together.
But, dude, so you got Corey Graves. Swap out Michael Cole. Bring Tom Phillips over there.
Yes.
Okay. And then their third guy instead of Byron Saxon is, like Steve Carino. That would be great.
That would be great.
You kidding me? Oh, these are great. These are
some of these are very good though.
JT, you did really good with this, like these suggestions here. Will Ospreay for AJ Styles? Not yet. I wouldn't do that yet.
No,
wouldn't do that yet.
I wouldn't do that either. No.
Lashley for Dean Ambrose?
I would do that.
I would actually sooner do EC3 for Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that's a good deal too.
Yeah, I would do that.
I just think we've seen Ambrose's ceiling.
Would you do Alberto El Patron for Roman Reigns?
No,
I wouldn't do that.
No.
There's a good chance. We're going to talk about this on the dirt sheet extensively. There's a good chance that Roman Reigns is going to be super over a year from now. But there's also a really
good... I don't think there's a good chance.
There's also a really good chance.
There's always a chance.
There's a 50-50 chance. No. You don't think so?
The only way he's going to get overhuged between now and next WrestleMania is if there's a heel turn in the interim.
I know.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
You think he's going to stick to same old, same old? Do you really think it doesn't work?
But let's save this for Dirt Sheet.
Okay.
This is our top story on Dirt Sheet.
One more question.
Okay, you pick it.
Oh, I have to pick it. Okay. Our good friend, Jason the Cabbie. Hey, friendos. Given that Aries and Tozawa seem to be arguably the two members of the Cruiserweight roster that people respond to the most, what are the chances that we not only see a double win at Mania, but Tozawa be the first he feuds with after the obligatory Neville rematch? They're both faces, so I don't really see that happening.
I don't see that. I think Kendrick's going to be his first feud after Neville.
I know, and I think that's going to be really good.
It should be really good.
They need to rebrand 205 Live, and they need to film it somewhere else.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.